As of 8 o'clock this morning, the number of people in hospital here who had tested positive for COVID-19 was 1,472. That's down 63 on the same time yesterday. The level of infection in the community, though, remains high. More than 11,700 cases reported yesterday. Another wave, then, of COVID-19, but with far fewer people becoming seriously ill, due, it's thought, to the high take-up of vaccines. And yet, with hospital ED departments experiencing unprecedented overcrowding, healthcare unions have been urging the reintroduction of pandemic restrictions, including mandatory mask wearing. Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly joins us in studio. Welcome to the programme, Minister, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me in, Brian.
The COVID powers legislation, which allows for, among other things, or allowed for, among other things, the mandatory wearing of masks, that lapsed as of midnight last night. So is that it? Mandatory masks are gone. They're not coming back.
We certainly hope that's it, yes. The powers that were in place obviously were very draconian powers. And they were emergency powers. And really what we're doing is we're moving from the emergency phase of COVID to a medium term living with COVID. So there is still public health advice around masks. However, the regulations, the legal requirements around people being fined, potentially people, let's say, being arrested, it was important that we moved away from that. Now, there is still public health advice around masks. It is still important. So the advice is, if we're on public transport, if we're in crowded places, obviously if we're going to a healthcare setting, a nursing home, if we're visiting someone who's higher risk. So the advice is still very clearly to wear masks in those settings. But we wanted to move away from a situation where people potentially would be fined or worse for not wearing
So
them.
The advice is still to wear a mask in those settings, even though the Taoiseach says it's almost impossible to stop transmission of this BA2 strain of the virus.
That's right. So the BA2 strain now is about 95% of all of the cases. It's the most transmissible variant we've had, and we're all aware of that. I think in the last 5 days, we've had about 100,000 PCR and antigen positive tests uploaded. So we all know it's highly transmissible. There's been a very high case number. The advice I have from the chief medical officer, though, is if we were to use public health measures to flatten the curve, it wouldn't be just masks we would need. We'd be looking at a whole suite of really quite serious measures. So the question is, well, why are we not considering that? And partly, I think you alluded to it in your opening, which is, yes, there are a lot of patients in hospital with COVID and it is causing huge pressure. However, when we look at the rate of severe illness, those in ICU, actually the numbers are very low. So there's over 50 in today.
The question, Minister, is why is there even advice for people to wear a mask when the Taoiseach is telling us that it, in effect, makes very little difference?
Well, because everything helps. And certainly if you're on public transport, you know, there are those who would be higher risk on public transport. You don't want a situation where people who are on a bus or who are on a train are, you know, and who are very nervous about getting it themselves, feel that they couldn't take it. So partly to keep yourself safe, but also, I think, out of respect for other people.
So why not to protect those people who are vulnerable, say, actually, you have to wear a mask on public transport?
Because really what we're doing is moving from an emergency phase where we have really quite draconian laws in place saying you can be fined or potentially you could be arrested, to saying, look, we have acted with solidarity right through this. Ireland has really stood out internationally in terms of people looking out for each other. And this now is more of that, saying we have to deal with this in the long
term. You've told us there are people at risk on public transport today and tomorrow and in the coming days and in the coming weeks, people who would be protected by mask wearing. And yet you say you refuse to allow to remain in place a mandatory requirement for mask wearing in those settings to protect those people.
Well, the advice is still there, obviously, and we know that the vast majority of people have followed and continue to follow the advice. The question for us is, should we be moving away from an environment where people are fined, where people are arrested? And certainly my view and the view of government is, yeah, we should let those emergency powers lapse.
Yeah, and that's based, you say, on public health advice. NPHET have been disbanded, so I presume it's the chief medical officer who's been giving you that advice.
Yes, the chief medical officer, and obviously he has a team of people who he works with,
right,
as
and
well.
And will you be publishing that advice?
Oh, I'd be very happy to publish the advice. Yeah, I get regular updates, regular epidemiological
updates. But you haven't so far, have you?
Well, the department certainly has had previously, but there's nothing.
Recent advice that you're citing today hasn't been released.
Well, that advice came last night to the COVID committee, or to the health subcommittee. There'd be no issue with publishing that. Yeah, I'd be very happy to do that. In fact, I think the more of the advice that is out there, the better.
I'm just wondering, why is it not out there already? You were asked about this in the Dáil yesterday, and you gave the same reply. And here we are, 24 hours later, and you're still telling us, "Yes, I will in due course."
Well. I mean, I can go back to the department today, obviously, and look to have it put up. I got the latest advice, the latest analysis, rather, of the disease situation just this morning. In fact, I have a copy of it here. I think there's no issue at all with publishing that. I think it should be published, and I'll talk to the department about that.
Where are we ministering this wave, do you think?
I think the phrase is cautious optimism. So we've had a very high caseload. The five-day rolling average is falling. The positivity rate is falling. The indications are, hopefully now, that we are past the peak. What we've seen in some other countries when they have passed this peak is there's been quite a rapid decline in cases. And really what we're looking to, obviously, what I'm looking to as Minister for Health, is to see a decline in cases in hospitals because of the huge pressure. Yeah. And if I could just say, Brian, you know, as well as the masks, the single most important thing we can do as a nation to take the pressure off the hospitals, off patients and off our healthcare workers is for those who are yet to be boosted to get it. So the figures, we estimate there's about 700,000 people who could be boosted, who are now eligible for booster. And just to give you a sense of how important it is, of the 1,500 or 1,600 in a hospital, less than half of those have had the booster. And in ICU, it's just a little bit over half. So it's really, really important
in relation people get to where, boosted. In relation to where we might be in this wave, whether there's more to come, whether it's peaked yet or levelling off, Paul Reid on this programme earlier in the week was saying that from the HSE perspective, it feels a lot more like the start of something.
Well, hopefully not. Certainly, cases look to have fallen. We've seen hospitalisation levels fall in the last few days. Now, we have to be very careful, obviously. But what we've seen previously is when cases fall, the hospitalisation admission rates tend to fall about a week later, and then the ICU admission rates tend to fall about a week after that. So hopefully what we're going to see is an easing off of the pressure on the hospitals.
And in relation to hospitals, the nurses, others have been saying that there is really a crisis here. It particularly presents itself in relation to ED departments. The INMO say that last month was the worst for overcrowding since they began compiling these trolley figures. It was all discussed at a meeting of the Emergency Department Task Force, which took place, I think, on Monday. You weren't there. Why not?
Well, I'm certainly very happy to go. I'm not a member of the task force. It's chaired by the Chief Operating Officer of the HSE and by the head of the INMO, Phil Nier. What I've been doing, Brian, is engaging directly with the clinicians, directly with the HSE. So, for example, 48 hours ago, we had a meeting with the senior management of the HSE. And indeed, I've met directly with the emergency medicine nurses from the INMO to look at anything that can be done, both right now to alleviate the pressures, but also we're looking now to next winter to say what kind of changes are
needed. In relation to the task force, the HSE's website says, and I quote, "The Minister for Health attends the task force meetings." Is that mistaken?
I'd have to check, but certainly the advice I have is that I'm not a member. Now, obviously, I can go along, but what I've been doing, I think the most useful thing for me to be doing is meeting directly with the HSE senior management. And as I say, I had a very, very productive meeting recently with the INMO emergency medicine nurses, and I've heard directly from them as the kind of things that need to be done.
HSE has instructed hospitals in recent days, I think it was last week at this stage, to prioritise COVID care and essential care for patients, and to defer elective procedures. At this stage, do you have a handle on how many so-called elective, and of course these are very often important procedures for the individuals involved, but what's described as non-time sensitive procedures, how many have been deferred?
The HSE is compiling those figures at the moment, and it'll be different hospital by hospital. But certainly in the conversations I had with the HSE on this 2 days ago, the question I was asking is, how quickly can we get back to that elective? And the answer, quite rightly, is every hospital and every specialty within the hospitals will turn back on elective care on a local basis when the intense pressure eases. And that's going to happen in some hospitals quicker than others.
But you don't know at this stage, because you've already told us that at this point you're hoping that the COVID numbers may begin to come down.
That's right, yeah. I mean, partly what we have to do is we have to see what happens in terms of the hospitalizations. But as soon as each of the hospitals has that extra capacity, they will, of course, immediately begin to turn back on that elective. of work. It's essential. As you're aware, we have a huge number of people waiting for care. The waiting lists are very, very high. We have a lot of money being deployed to the waiting list task force, and we are beginning to see results. But this huge pressure because of COVID obviously does make that more difficult.
Just a final question, if I might. The appointment of the new master of the Rotunda Maternity Hospital in Dublin. Now, there have been complaints about the gender composition of the interview panel. I think it was 9 of the 13 members were men. Should panels like this be gender balanced? And should that have been the case in the Rotunda appointment?
I think they should be gender balanced, yeah. I think it's something we have to fundamentally change, not just in healthcare, but right across the public and indeed across the private sector as well. In that particular case, as you say, my understanding is there were nine men and four women. There is a question as to whether it should have been, you know, seven of each. Certainly my preference as a default right across the board would be gender balance. Yeah.
Gabriel Scally, who headed the cervical cancer, cervical check inquiry, described it as an outmoded, ineffective and deficient way of doing things. Would you argue with that?
Was he I don't know. Was he referring specifically to the 9-4 rather than 7-7?
Yeah.
Well, look, I certainly I think a more modern way, a better way of doing it would be to have strong gender balance, not just in interview panels, but right across the board.
Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thanks for talking to us here on the News at 1.